This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe. I really love doing this podcast because I get to speak to the most interesting people on the planet. Tonight, I have a great guest. Her name is Toni Washington. And the reason I took a breath is because it's not spelled like the president. It's W-A-S-H-I-N-G-T-I-N. Okay, Washington. I'm going to make sure I pronounce it right. But I really love her because she's got the same first name as me. And, you know, if you have the name Toni as your first name, there's a vibe to having that name. And believe it or not, and I'm going to ask you this, Toni, since we're talking about music and, like, artists and art and blues, I feel that with the name Toni, do you feel that sometimes there are expectations?
Yes, absolutely, I do.
There are expectations, you know, and we have expectations, and also we know how to forgive when people spell our name wrong, even though to us it's obvious. But anyway, Toni Washington, she is the leader of the Philly Blues Society. And I understand through a mutual friend, Wendy Zoffer, who's a flutist. She actually plays jazz flute and she plays classical flute, which is how we met, that you're planning a blues festival.
Yes.
What? Are we in a pandemic? How are you planning a blues festival? I'm excited.
Yes, we're planning a blues festival for 2022. Okay. So, Labor Day weekend, 2022. And this is something that has been in my mind for 5 years. Well, really longer than that, but I started believing it could happen 5 years ago. So, you know, and then, of course, the pandemic came and we had to put some things on hold, and we're still on pins and needles, but it's coming along great. We're finding sponsors and musicians. We have thousands of musicians in our Philly Blues group, but I'm still getting all kinds of calls and stuff every day. So,
I'm excited. You have musicians signing up to be part of the repertoire?
Yes. Yes. And it's a very interesting blues fest because we are going to be including just about every county in Philly. And a lot of the musicians actually live in New Jersey as well. But we're going to focus on Pennsylvania as far as what we're calling the blues pub crawl, which means they're going to be musicians for 2 weeks leading up to the actual festival in and around the Delaware Valley in different pubs and clubs and restaurants, spreading the news about the blues.
Wow, I like that. That's very cool. And so you said that it's all in Philly, but actually our connection, the reason I found out about you is because of a connection, the Princeton Music Connection.
Yes.
Right? And Wendy Zoffer. That's your company. Yes.
Yes, and Wendy is helping to plan, and she's also going to be on the festival as well.
She plays flute.
Yes, she does. And she loves the jazz, she loves the blues, and we're going to have a little bit of the jazz and different different styles of the blues. Country blues, rock blues, traditional blues, Chicago blues, Delta blues. It's just going to be filled with a whole lot of different types of blues.
Yes, and that sounds excellent. I don't know if I mentioned this, but I believe that blues is one of those genres that brings everybody together of every genre, of every race, creed, and color.
Yes.
Who was it? Tree Top Pickens or Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing him in downtown Manhattan in a blues club in downtown Manhattan years ago. And he said, quote, I'll quote him, if you don't like the blues, you got a hole in your soul.
Yeah. You know, that's a good quote because I believe that, you know, a lot of people don't know that rock comes from the blues. They, you know, and it does. And jazz comes from the blues, and just about any kind of music you can think about actually started with the blues. So it's very interesting. You know, when I run across folks who say, well, I don't like the blues. And I say, but why? I said, it just comes. There's all types of music that, you know, that comes from the blues. And they say, oh, it's down and out. And I said, no, I'd say, no, it's not. I said, what do you like? I like R&B. I say, well, you know, in R&B, there's some songs that are a little down and out, too.
So. A little, you think, right? You know, if you really pay attention to what's going on, it's interesting how these music gets its reputation through culture. So, so talk to me about a little bit about the blues culture. There is a little bit of a specificness about it. Is that a word, specificness? There's a way you can pigeonhole it, I would say, but there's something, there are elements of it that are very specific. Can you talk about the blues culture and why we really love it?
Well, the blues is a feel, you know, it's a feel. And it, of course, comes from, oh my goodness, way down. As far as I've, from what I've been reading, and I did a workshop back in August, and we talked about the blues from the 1700s on up till now to the present day. And just about everybody that I know who does the blues says, it's a feel, you know, you can learn it, but you really have to feel it. And that, of course, comes a lot from, like you said, the culture, the slave days and in the fields and, you know, making songs and trying to get through the day and things of that nature. So, you know, that's really how I would describe it. It's a feel.
It's a feel. And I think about the blues, you know, I think of a guy, or I guess these days more women, but I think of a guy standing with like that hat. I don't know what you call it. And he's playing sax or even his guitar. And he's singing to a crowd in a smoky room in a club. And the blues are just going and people are sitting there and they're drinking and enjoying their cocktail. Everybody's rocking to the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of blues guys I know wear fedoras.
Fedora, that's the word. Yes.
Yeah. And of course, many of them have those fedoras and they think they're even cooler when they put them on.
So it's cool.
Kind of funny. You know, when I see them without it, then I see them with it. It's a totally different feel attitude, I should say. Totally different.
Completely, you know, but vibe.
Yes, they're way different. But it's always good, you know, it's always good. I say this, if that's what it takes to make you or help you go into character so that you can do your thing, then go ahead and do it.
You're a vocalist. You're not just spearheading this festival.
Yes.
You're a vocalist.
Yeah, I'm a vocalist. I now live in Philly. I've been in Philly for quite some time, but I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And when I moved to Philly, I took voice lessons, you know, very, very young in my teenage years. I studied classical voice because I loved classical. So I studied classical voice with a private teacher for a few years. And my mother said to me, you know, you listen to classical, but you listen to other music too. And I said, yeah, I loved the radio. And every time a new soul song would come out, I would do my best to learn that song. But because I had the classical the classical background, it never came out right. It was, you know, like a person singing opera, but they were singing R&B and soul.
Hey, I like that. I like the combination, actually.
Yeah.
It speaks to me, I would say.
Yeah, it was interesting. And the guys in my band would say, you're not fitting this. You sound good, but that doesn't fit, you know? And I would say, well, what do I need to do? And they would say, we can't tell you what you need to do, but you need to figure it out and fix it.
So how did you fix it? And, it is kind of funny.
I had to keep listening. Same thing with instrument. I play a little bit of piano. I write an awful lot. I can play the songs that I write. I can read music too, not that well, but I only do that in the comfort of my living room.
That's okay. Your living room.
Yes. Yeah. But so I started with the singing, and my mom really encouraged me. You know, she set me up for an audition with an R&B band. And when it came time to actually go to the audition, she walked me to the door and said, I can't stay. So she kind of put me in the lion's den. Wow. And yeah, and I was like a fish out of water. But I went in and I did the audition, and I started working locally with the band and doing a little bit of traveling, and just met so many people, worked with guys who played for the OJs, the Delphonics. These are, of course, all local people, and Sister Sledge. And, you know, these are the musicians that I was working with. And one of the musicians that I work closely with now is a bass player. He played for Nina Simone for years and years and years until her death. So the music has taken me to a lot of different places and afforded me the opportunity to travel. But I don't like flying, so I don't travel much.
So do you sometimes just get on one of those big buses that we romanticize, that, well, the whole band is in there and you take this bus cross country?
Oh, the tour bus. No, tour you bus. Know, I'll tell you what, I have made opportunity for so many people. It's kind of, I guess people say, that's strange you feel that way, but I like to see people get where they want to be, you know, as far as their careers with the music. And I've always been that way. I've always tried to be in the background, and my family and friends would always say, you need to get in the front. But I feel much more comfortable making opportunities for other people. And I have had an opportunity to get on a couple of those big buses, and I've had opportunity to go to Japan and Brazil and Italy. And I would always send someone else, because that's not what I wanted to do.
Does it have to do with the flying, Tony? Is it about flying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And at one point I had a job where that's all I did was fly. It was the strangest thing. I had a job and I would fly. And this one particular time, you mentioned bus, and this is really funny. Funny, I guess, in a way. I was in Arizona and I worked for a company that was based out of New York. And I had 7 days off. Like, I worked, did my little tour there, and it was time to go home. And I said, you know, I'm going to get the bus home. It took me 4 days to get home.
Oh my gosh, really?
I got on the bus and traveled from Route 66. And there's a jazz song. Yes. Some people say blues, but jazzy, yeah. Bluesy, Route 66. And every time I sing Route 66, I think about those 4 days.
So what was it like?
Oh, it was great. All the way home, I would call family and friends and say, hey, I'll be in Chicago at such and such a time. You know, all the different places that I would go. I would call people and tell them, I'll be in Pittsburgh at this time, you know. So I had a chance to visit my family along the way, but it did take four of my 7 days off to get home.
Wow. You're going to get a bus home. What? Are you serious?
And I could have been there like days ago, you know, so.
So if I tell you that I have tickets for you to fly to Hawaii, and you're going to do a gig in Hawaii and all expenses paid, will you get on the plane?
No.
Really?
Yeah, really, really. Someone called me 2 weeks ago and said, you know, we want you to come to Chicago to meet Buddy Guy. And Buddy Guy is really one of the biggest blues people around since B.B. King is no longer here. And they said, we want you to come and we want you to meet him. He wants to meet you because he found out that you are a woman of color and you are heading the Philly Blues Society, and he can't believe it. So I said, okay. Then I thought about it and I said, nope, not going to come to Chicago to meet Buddy Guy, but thank you anyway.
What? That's nuts.
I know. It is. It really is. But I don't particularly like flying. And I mean, there are a lot of very famous people like that. Patti LaBelle was like that. I believe Aretha Franklin was that way.
Oh, yes.
You know.
Not getting on a plane. No.
Oh, yeah. See. So, I mean, and it's, I don't know what it is. Like I said, I had a job where all I did was fly. And it bothered me then, but when I got off the plane the last time, I said, nope, I can't do this, you know? So other than that, I send folks.
Yeah, but you're the real deal. You're the one they want to see.
Yeah, but I can't do it, girl.
Hypnosis. I know someone.
Really?
Yes, I do. She's very good.
Hey, well, maybe I need to.
She might resonate with her. She's a special. Yes, she is.
Okay. I may need to get her name.
I'll hook you up. I've interviewed her 3 times on my show. She's sensational.
Oh, wow. I need her.
Okay, I'm going to definitely, matter of fact, I'm writing it down. You got to get on a plane.
I need her. I have turned down so many opportunities, you know, to travel. But like right now, my focus for the most part is on the Philly Blues Society and the people that I have met. When I started a Facebook page maybe 9 or 10 years ago. And it really came from my sister in Ohio who writes blues. And every time I would go to visit her, she would take me to a blues club in Cleveland. The first time she took me and she sang one of the songs that she had written, I said, my goodness, I wish I could do blues. And she said, you can, you just don't know it. So then she asked me, was there a Philly Blues Society? And I said, I don't think so. Now, at one point there was, maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 decades ago, I'm not really sure. I really couldn't find a lot of information, but some of the people who are in the current Blues Society were members of the Blues Society prior to me. And they have given me some information on, you know, how it was run and different things that they have done, or, you know, what they were trying to do with the Blues Society. But with this Blues Society, I tried to keep it as exciting as possible. I tried to include as many people as I can. And when I started it 10 years ago, it was myself and 4 other people. And about maybe 3 years ago, I got a call from someone who said, I want to take over your page because you're not doing anything with it. And I said, why don't we do the page together? And the person said, nope, I want to take over the page. And at that point, I started asking my granddaughter, how can I get more people on this page? And at that point, I had maybe a couple of hundred. Now we have over 3,000 all over the world.
So was she about 9 years old?
My granddaughter is 21.
Okay. I know. If I have technology questions, I usually ask a 9-year-old, but 21.
Yes.
I usually know. Yes. I ask a 9-year-old.
Yeah, absolutely. Or go on YouTube.
Right. There you go. So tell us about your page. How can someone go to your page?
Just type in Philly Blues Society online and I will come up. The page will come up. It'll say Facebook. And then if you want to join, it's free to join. You click, you know, join, and I'll see it and I approve it. And the rest is history. Then you'll see all the places that people play and all the different bands that support the page and all the folks who are not musicians who support the page. And it's just such a great community because it's not just Philly. It's Montgomery County. It's Bucks County. It's the Lehigh Valley. It's just all over the place in Pennsylvania, California, New York, New Jersey, Delaware.
New Jersey, we know, yes.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of our members live in New Jersey. It's a wonderful thing. I love it. I love the community. I love the fact that people are from all over and, you know, they're coming together on that page, and folks are able to find jobs. You know, like if somebody from New York posts where they are, we see it. And someone from Philly might want to check that place out. And, you know, they'll contact the owner or the manager. And the next thing you know, they're working there too.
That's wonderful what you're doing. So you're bringing people together. That's mm-hmm. the beautiful thing about the internet.
You know, it is.
I encourage you to fly to your meetings if they're paying for it to go. But because you at this point, maybe you're not doing that. That's the beautiful thing about the internet. Now, when yes. you do the festival, you're going to have like a live stream as well?
Yes, we are. We're going to have a live stream. We wanted to do it in Philadelphia, in Philly, but we really couldn't find a place. Now we know, you know, a couple of places that we can do it. I'm affiliated with a beautiful arboretum in Philly called Albury Arboretum, and they have collaborated with me on several events that I put together. Last summer, we did a blues series once a month. We would have a blues band from the Philly Blues Society do a concert on a Friday. And it worked out so nice. And then we ended up doing a couple of workshops there and bringing in, you know, some of the local people, local musicians who had supported the blues forever and ever. And we decided to do this festival Labor Day weekend 2022 on the Ambler campus in Ambler, Pennsylvania. And actually it's Temple. Temple University is affiliated with the Ambler campus. And that was as close as we could get to, you know, trying to tie it into Philly, because at the time we were looking, which we'd been looking for about 5 or 6 months, and actually longer than that, but, you know, with COVID, over the past 5 or 6 months, trying to determine where we could have it. And we decided to do it in Ambler, Pennsylvania, on Temple University campus. And so far, so good.
I got my fingers crossed on this, and it sounds like it's going to be a success. The reason I feel that way right now is because of the energy that you exude.
Okay. You know? Yeah. Yes, I'm so excited. I'm always excited about the music. And when I have the support that I have, is just phenomenal. I never thought that there would be so many people who treat me so well, you know, and they're always happy to see me and I'm happy to see them. And a lot of times they'll send me a message when they're down and out, and I'll say something like, hey, turn it around. You know, it's going to work out. And many, many times folks have told me, you just don't know what you do for me. And I feel good because they do the same thing for me, only they don't know it.
Well, you know, you do have a very uplifting thing about you, and you seem to be like very open-minded. I can yes. tell just by the things that you're saying. Now, tell me about how the musicians will be involved in this. Will it be a very organized kind of thing? Will there be jam sessions?
Yeah. Like I said, leading up to the actual event, for 2 weeks, we're going to have musicians all over. I mean, different parts of Pennsylvania, Delaware County, Chester County. And then the final day, we're going to do a jam session on Sunday. Saturday will be the big festivities with a couple of what we hope to be international acts coming in. And the final day, which is Sunday, we're going to open it up so that folks can jam. So it'll be organized, but it'll be a little looser than the actual planned festival.
Okay. Will any musicians come that will be paid to perform?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
How can a musician find out about getting involved if they, because, you know, I think of all the people that I know and people I've mm-hmm. interviewed. I'm thinking of one woman in particular in Peekskill who's actually a, Afghanistan war veteran.
Ooh.
And yeah, she's you know, she's a woman that can really sing some blues.
Okay.
Cheryl Robinson. She also goes by the name, I think, Cindy Lou. Boy, oh my God.
Okay.
You know, her voice is like, her delivery is mesmerizing.
Ooh, and, wow.
I just want to just give her your name, if that's okay. Yes, and I know some other people. And so as far as this festival, how would one find out about it now if they want to get involved with it? Like, how can they contact you? And should they contact you directly?
Yeah, they can contact me directly. You can give them my number or my email or both.
Okay, if you want to even say it here, it's okay. You can tell the audience.
Sure. My email is MS, as in Sam, Tony Washington, WASHINGTON, at yahoo.com. And my telephone number is 267-456-8183.
If they want to like Google you and find you, you spell your name a little bit differently. You don't spell it like the president.
That's correct. If they Google me, it's Tony Washington, WASHINGTIN. And that's because when I first started getting on the internet, I found that a lot of times the I, since the I is before the O, it would be easier to find me. Like I would come up before the Washingtons.
Oh, that's brilliant, actually. That's actually a brilliant idea. Well, that is quite something. Yeah. You know, so, I know they used to play tricks like that in the phone book years ago. People used to call themselves AAA shoes or AAA women's fashion.
Right.
First, but that's very smart. Washington. Okay. I thought a different reason. And I'm glad that it's this reason. I like this reason better that you're doing it. You're a smart cookie. You are.
Well, you know, those Tonys, you know.
Yes, that's true. We come up before the ones with the Y. If you do know how to spell, you know, we should come up first. But like we said, there's a vibe with Tony.
Yes.
So this thing is going to be happening. Is it Labor Day weekend 2022?
That's correct. It's going to be the Saturday and the Sunday, the 3rd and the 4th.
Of September.
Of September. That's correct. Yes.
Okay. So coming soon. And so, so you'll be doing, and the thing that I love about it, which I think is also a smart thing to do, is having people perform in performances for the actual event leading up to the actual date.
Yes. Yes. That gives other folks an opportunity. Everybody's not going to be able to get on the big stage, you know, so we're like, you know, let's give people an opportunity leading up to the festival and they can still be a part of the festival as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're trying to include as many people as we can. And I've had help with Wendy, and I've had help with a lady named Cindy Amoroso, who has really helped me plan this thing, you know, and give me a lot of ideas and help with sponsorship and just explaining and sharing and meeting. And so, yeah, I've had some help, and it just feels so good to have folks on board who really want to do, you know, be a part of the festival.
It's hard to do everything all by yourself.
Oh, yes, it is indeed. Yes.
You know, really, seriously. I think it's just such a beautiful thing. Again, I just want to talk a little bit more about how certain genre of music, I would say blues and jazz, I think all music crosses cultures.
Yes.
And I really do believe that, but there's something about the blues and jazz, in particular.
Yes, yes, there is. You know, and it was interesting when I started singing and doing R&B, as I got older, people kept saying, you know, you should do jazz, you know, because you have a jazz voice. And I kept saying, oh, jazz is so boring and there's no words. And then, of course, I did my research and found out that wasn't true. And I still actually work with a small jazz band. As I was doing this jazz, and then my sister started incorporating the blues and telling me about Coco Taylor and all these folks that I had never heard of, I started learning the blues. And a lot of my jazz friends, you know, they were totally against it. Like, what are you trying to do here? And I said, well, it's, you know, if it wasn't for the blues, there would be no jazz. You know? So yeah. I had to kind of educate them. And some of them came along. They didn't want to come along, but mm-hmm. I have a keyboard player that I've been working with for 25 years. And he despised the blues. And I want to say over the last 3 or 4 years, he's saying to me, wow, this is really not as bad as I thought it was. So I do, you know, some gigs with him. In fact, tomorrow night I'll be in Havana over in New Hope, Pennsylvania, doing something. And I rarely get a chance really to perform because I'm so busy, you know, trying to make stuff happen for people, which is what I love to do. But yeah, jazz mm-hmm. and blues are really close, very close. They're brother and sister and sister and sister. You know, they're just, yeah, because jazz definitely comes from blues. There's no denying it, you know.
You could turn any song I'm learning, many songs, I wouldn't say any song, into like a blues lyric. I remember I sang at church once, I sang You've Got a Friend. And it just somehow what happened with my voice and the way I was delivering Carole King's lyrics, it mm-hmm. sounded like the blues. And I was surprised because of the way you're feeling. Do you feel that sometimes it relies on the lyric that makes yes. it that way?
Yes. Yes. I understand exactly what you're saying because it comes out like that in my writing. I'll start out to maybe write an R&B song and it'll be blues when I'm done. Or vice versa, I start out writing a blues song and it'll be maybe rock. It's funny the way it's delivered and the way things turn, and you never know where you're going to land.
Yeah, it's sort of a neuropsychological, spiritual thing all together.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the good thing about it. That's the beauty of it, you know, because it's, of course, you're expressing yourself. You know, sometimes your mind, I know when I'm singing sometimes in my mind, I'm saying, okay, I want to hit this note. And sometimes it might not go there. It might go somewhere else. But it usually comes out well. You know?
I imagine so. You know, I think that people would be very fortunate to hear some of your lyrics sometime and hear you sing. Yeah. Where can somebody go to hear you sing? Either if you have any gigs coming up or if you're somewhere online. Where can they go to hear you sing a song?
I actually, if they type in Tony Washington, T-I-N, they're going to be able to get into a Reverb Nation where I have some original material that's mm-hmm. been online for quite some time. And I really should revise because I've probably written about 50 new songs since then, but I just have not had the opportunity to, you know, to go in and do what I need to do. However, I did produce 2 compilation blues CDs, one in 2019 and one in, 2021. So those will be going up on our website and they'll be able to check them out, you know, little snippets of it if they want to. And at some point they'll be able to download them and we use it as a fundraiser, you know, to support the blues and to keep the website going and to pay musicians, you know, when we have specific events. So,
website? Could just repeat your website again?
It's phillybluessociety.com.
That's P-H-I-L-L-Y.
Blues, B-L-U-E-S-S-O-C-I-E-T-Y.
Yeah, Philly Blues Society, everybody. Go there. Be there. Yeah. Be square. This is wonderful. We're going to have to talk again because I want to see how the progress goes with this for sure.
Okay.
And I definitely want to have you on again. And maybe I'll even put you on the spot next time and have you sing.
Okay. Hey.
And we'll have you on video next time. It'll be
we
good.
Can work it out. We can definitely work it out. Okay,
yes,
Tony. Tony, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Tony. You're the best. Tony Washington, the Philly Blues Society. Stay tuned for more and look her up. She's sensational. She is the leader of the Philly Blues Society. And like T. Trop Perkins, I think it's Perkins, said, if you don't like the blues, you got a hole in your soul. Check yourself out.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Tony. And I'll say goodnight to you, and I'll say goodnight to the audience. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.